10, 15.
Back upfield to the 35, to the 40, 45, 50.
Pass the 50.
35, 40.
Pass the 30.
To the 20.
Inside the 20.
You got to be kidding me.
To the 10.
Whoa! He scores!
He's all the way home.
The Go Bucks!
Oh, my goodness. Holy moly.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
Hello again, everyone. This is the Old College Try. This is your host, Tim Hyland, and joining me as always is my co-host, Mike Unger. Mike, in 6 days, not seven, six, we'll be experiencing the second best day of the entire calendar year, which is what, Mike?
Well, Thanksgiving, but what's the first best day?
Well, the first best day is Thanksgiving. The second best day is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Oh, I couldn't do the numbers. Math has never been my forte. Plus, I've had a few drinks tonight, so I understand where you're going. Yes, first or second, we can agree that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that combo is the best three-day stretch in the year.
Yep.
Without question.
And I think it's debate. I love Thanksgiving. You know this, the audience knows this, but like a Wednesday before Thanksgiving, that's pretty peak up there, Mike.
Yes, and of course, I'll be at the Last Waltz event that they have in Baltimore every year at the Polish Home Club in Fells Point, where a bunch of local musicians play the Last Waltz in sequential order, all 40-plus songs. It's a tremendous thing to do the night before Thanksgiving. Then this year, Thanksgiving, we have the Egg Bowl. Thanksgiving night, some suckers will be watching the NFL, but we'll be watching Mississippi and Mississippi State. Thank God that college football said, you know what, NFL, you're going to play a game on Thursday night? We don't care. We're going to play the Egg Bowl.
Agreed. I'm so excited for next week. I need it, Mike, as you know. Just the best week of the year overall. And much football over that weekend as well. And then the World Cup too, Mike. The World Cup randomly thrown in the mix.
Right. Kicking off in November per usual, right? Right. It's a fall extravaganza. I'm excited for the World Cup. I'm in a couple pools. And I went online today and I saw it is an 8-hour difference between here and Qatar. So we'll be watching some games live, right? Some on tape, some on live. Is that how they're going to do it?
I mean, I have no idea at this point. This whole thing's ridiculous. I love the World Cup. This is crazy.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine or a coworker of mine who grew up in Newcastle in England. He's a Newcastle fan, and asking me if he was excited for the World Cup. And he launched into all the same things that you did. He doesn't like it. Newcastle's in third place in the Premier League.
Yeah.
All the momentum is being snapped, just like Arsenal, who, by the way, is atop the table. He's worried about his players getting hurt, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, your hardcore soccer fans are not happy about this, but I think your every 4-year World Cup fans really don't give a crap, and they'll be excited for it.
All right, Mike, how was your weekend of college football?
Tim, I can barely remember the weekend. So we're recording this on Thursday. Normally we do it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and it's funny how much just 24 or 48 hours makes a difference. But so Allison moved in on Friday, and so Saturday we were doing a lot of moving stuff. But I had football on. I turned every TV on in every room because I was going from room to room, and I have 9 TVs. And so I was watching all the noons and the 3:30s from going from room to room. And then we basically said we've done enough, and we settled into the bungalow, the basement bar, and watched all kinds of evening football. So I actually watched a ton of ball.
And was Allison into the ball?
Well, that's a funny statement. Yeah, yes and no. Allison's always down for a good time. She likes football as a backdrop. You know what I mean? So she likes the idea of tailgating and grilling and watching football and wearing warm clothes and all this blah, blah, blah. You know, she's not, you know, dialed into the television for every play, but she likes the idea of college football and football. So the short answer is yes.
Does she have a preferred team?
College-wise, no. The only thing she has a preferred team or an anti-preferred team. She hates Ohio State.
And explain why.
Listeners who don't know, she's a Maryland native, but she's lived in Cleveland for 13 years. And she's a very, very, very laid-back person. But even she realized how obnoxious most Ohio State fans are. And she really objects to the fact that there are so many Ohio State fans who never went to Ohio State. That's one of her pet peeves. So she hates Ohio State. She does love the Cleveland Browns, though. That's her, she's a Browns fan and an anti-Buckeyes fan.
Look, Ohio State fans, they're passionate. There's no question about it, right? But there's a little bit of
obnoxiousness to them.
And also, they seem a little joyless sometimes.
Seem joyless. There's a whole lot of Yankee, Dallas Cowboy vibes to Ohio State fans. You know, I hate to compare them to that, but joyless is the perfect term, because I've watched a couple Ohio State games in Cleveland, and a win is not even enough for these people.
And we have at least two listeners who will be very unhappy with this, but that's just our honest judgment.
I thought you were just going to say we have at least two listeners, period, and just leave it.
That's true. Anyway, congrats on the move in, Mike. Very exciting stuff. I had a nice day of football. I had soccer in the midst of it, of course. But I made the strategic – like, I had a very nice day, Mike, where I, like, decided rather than trying to watch a bunch of games, I zeroed in on just – like two or three and watch the whole thing, every single snap.
Interesting. And what were those games? We'll get to them, I guess. But yeah, I haven't done that for a while. The only time I do that is when I'm in an environment with only one TV, when I'm being held hostage, essentially.
So I had a great day with that. Anyway, ready. The week in review. Ready, Mike?
Let's do it.
For you, number two, Ohio State 56, Indiana 14. I know it's been a long year. I didn't see this game. How bad was it, Mike?
Well, it was predictable. I mean, predictably bad. It was, the worst thing that this game, as I've said all year, Indiana is one of the worst, probably five teams in the Power Five. They just really don't have any talent. And Ohio State has a lot of talent. Plus, Ohio State was coming off a sluggish, lackluster performance against Northwestern. This was a very predictable blowout. And Ohio State did cover the 40-plus spread as well. There was one bright spot for IU, though. They finally brought in their young quarterback, Williams, and he's no superstar. I don't know. I doubt he's definitely not a five-star. I doubt he's a four-star. He's probably a three-star. But he played very well. He gave a shot of life. He's so much better than Bazelak, which I don't want to trash anyone, but Bazelak just doesn't have a lot of skill or talent. So hopefully moving forward, that was a positive. But this game was over in the first quarter, per predicted.
So with me in Ohio State, I think what's scary about them is when I've watched them against us, like Penn State in that fourth quarter, that was like peak Ohio State. They were amazing. They were amazing. And I've seen them be like not quite amazing, right? I think if Ohio State puts together a full game, I think they may be the most dangerous team in the country, like just overall. Right. But they have to put together a full game, and I'm not sure they have yet.
Well, right? I don't think they have yet either. But also, Georgia kind of the difference with them and Georgia. So top to bottom, I would say the SEC is stronger than the Big Ten. Now, I don't think the SEC possibly has two teams as good as Ohio State and Michigan when you go to the top.
Right.
But so Georgia, you look at some of their performances against Kent State, against Missouri. They kind of sleepwalk through it like Ohio State does a lot. Fortunately, Ohio State can sleepwalk through more of their schedule than Georgia can. So it'll be real interesting to see when push comes to shove and Ohio State plays Michigan, what that's going to be like. Because, yes, Ohio State has a scary amount of talent on that team.
I think this might be, literally in my lifetime, the most interesting and unpredictable Ohio State Michigan game in my lifetime. That's going to be a battle. Like,
yeah, the only one that I think could rival it was it 2006?
Oh, six. Yes.
Yeah. That's. I mean, in our lifetime, or at least our adult, lifetimes, that was the other one that was being dubbed kind of the game of century. But last year's was great too, the way Michigan stepped up and won. But this year, it's the whole year you've known that these are two titans, heading for a showdown at the end of the year. So it is going to be pretty epic a week from Saturday at noon.
Number four, TCU 17, number 18, Texas 10, Go Horned Frogs. they have helped us get rid of, not get rid of, but like Texas is at least like on the sidelines again, Mike. And
well, are they ranked 25th in the poll this week? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that was true. I watched this game was on my third TV in the evening, and every time I looked up, the score hadn't changed. I think it was a 3-0 or scoreless at halftime. And Texas got their points on a fumble return. They did absolutely nothing on offense. And we'd seen TCU win a lot of different ways. We hadn't seen them, their defense step up like that. So that's an impressive win for the Frogs.
Number 25, Washington 37. Number 6, Oregon 34.
Game of the day. Game of the
week.
This
was awesome.
Yeah, this game was spectacular. Back and forth. Michael Penix was throwing incredible dimes.
Yep.
Left and right. Accurate with an incredible arm. I mean, it's no surprise that Indiana is hurting after he left, because he is a real, real talent. And then Bo Nix, until he got hurt, really equaled him. This was a back and forth, wildly entertaining game. The atmosphere in Autzen was outstanding. The optics on Fox were great. The colors popped through the TV screen. I have no idea what Dan Lanning was thinking going for it on fourth down with the backup quarterback at his own 30 late in the game. That was completely boneheaded as far as I just don't know what he was thinking. I haven't seen any interviews or follow-ups. But he basically handed the game to Washington. That was a major, major coaching error. But it was an extremely entertaining game.
I mean, again, the optics were incredible.
Yeah, they really were. Washington's uniforms are very underrated.
Yeah, they're great. And I'm so curious about, like, the nature of this. Like, I wouldn't think of either of these states being football crazy states.
Right.
But we've been to Oregon, right? And that crowd was amazing. And I have a friend I went to college with who lived in Seattle for a while. And the intensity of the Dogs fans was so crazy that he, like, was super annoyed by how, like, intense they were. So I think there is, like, I think it's legit, right?
Yeah, so this I think it's extremely legit. And it reminds me of how, you know, Michigan's top rival is Ohio State. So maybe Oregon's top rival is Washington, but Oregon State's top rival is Oregon, where Michigan State's top rival is Michigan, right? So Oregon doesn't respect Oregon State. Michigan doesn't respect Michigan State. And the real rivalry is, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, and Oregon, Washington. But that was just a fun game from start to finish.
And I will say this. I think Fox does a great job broadcasting games.
They do a spectacular job. And I'm saying not even their announcers. Their camera angles, the crispness of their picture, yes, their slow-mo replays, they do a much, much better job than ABC, ESPN in broadcasting football in all the facets of a broadcast.
Number 7, LSU 13, Arkansas 10. So this could not be a thing. So, Mike, you and I, back in the glory days of the Bill King show on Sirius XM College, he's a great broadcaster, right? Just amazing. And he always tweets out his order of preference for the day, like the top five games he's going to watch. Mm-hmm. And he gives them nicknames. And maybe it's not a thing, but I didn't know that potentially LSU Arkansas at Fayetteville is called Fayetnam. And that's the greatest name, right?
It's a very good name. Now, this game used to be the Friday after Thanksgiving, right? All every year.
Yep.
This was like, I remember one Arkansas LSU game where Darren McFadden went just ballistic for like 200 plus yards and Arkansas won. This was an ugly game. You could see it coming. First of all, it was freezing cold and ice everywhere in Arkansas. It was cold all through the South. And as ESPN kept showing, LSU brought in hot chocolate and chicken broth for their players to drink on the sidelines, which I found amusing. Ugly, ugly game. And you knew it was going to be sluggish for LSU to bounce back after the huge win against Alabama with an 11 a.m. kick at a freezing cold Arkansas, but they got the job won. This was a classic win and move on situation for the Tigers.
I love this. So there was many funny posts on Twitter about how the Arkansas field crew, their solution to there being snow on the field in the morning was to spray water on it.
And then it made it a sheet of ice.
Yes.
Well, that's good. It slows down the LSU your skill position players.
Number 9, Bama 30, number 11, Ole Miss 24. Mike, I didn't see much of this one. Did you?
Yeah, I saw a lot of it because this was a night game. It was, or this was, this was a 3:30 game, but I did see a fair amount of this. Again, another very, very entertaining game. I have a hard time watching an Ole Miss game at home without thinking about things that are not involving the game. Like, I always think, like, oh my God, I wonder what's going on in the Grove right now, when you know, Ole Miss is threatening or they're close to beating Alabama. Obviously, the Ole Miss fans are thinking the whole time, we're not going to win. They just have to know that, you know. They just have to know that. But it was a very, very entertaining game. You know, it was a good CBS SEC game. Lane Kiffin, I just read that Ole Miss has offered him a monster contract extension. Yep. And raise, because obviously they're trying to keep him from going to Auburn. If you're Ole Miss and you lose Lane Kiffin, that's going to be what a death blow. That's going to be like, who else are you going to get who's even close to Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss?
I mean, yeah, I mean, like, and I could be naive. I can't see him going to Auburn. I can't.
Yeah, I don't see. I if I were him, I'd stay at Ole Miss and take a monster raise and be considered a hero if I win 9-10 games. Now, and I would bide my time, you know, maybe you jump to a true blue blood when that opportunity comes up. But for me, but then again, Tim, you and I, we're not filled with ambition.
I know.
So we would be, I mean, I'd be happy at like Vanderbilt.
Number 10, Clemson 31, Louisville 16. Clemson just kind of hanging around, Mike.
Yeah, I saw a fair amount of this one too. And nice win. Malik Cunningham, Louisville's quarterback, got hurt in this one. But Clemson, nice bounce back. Everyone, a lot of piling on Clemson leading up to this game. And it was nice to see them step up and play a good game and win.
Number 14, Penn State 30, Maryland 0. Here for Mike, I have to say, I expected Maryland to
You called play. This one, Tim. You absolutely called this one. You said Penn State is going to out-physical Maryland, just like Wisconsin did. And my God, were you right. This was a major, major domination. My nephew, who's 12, has just gotten a cell phone. And his father and many people in his family, including my aunt and uncle and blah, 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 they all went to Penn State. So he's brainwashed and indoctrinated to Penn State. And he was taunting me all through this game via text about what an ass-kicking it was.
From the first play, it must be from the first play.
Yep, I did. I barely even watched any of this game because it was over, basically right the second it started.
I felt bad for Tulia; like he had no chance.
Yeah, no, he didn't. It was just as you called it. It was a physical line of scrimmage domination by the Knits.
Number 20, Notre Dame 35, Navy 32. Navy always comes to play against Notre Dame.
Absolutely. So this game was in Baltimore. It was a beautiful, perfect day. It was about 68 degrees, sunny. And you're right, Navy absolutely showed up. This was another letdown game you could see coming. Notre Dame coming off the huge win over Clemson. Navy played its ass off. Great effort by the Middies. Hell of a game. And Notre Dame just survived. But Navy's won 3 games this year. I think they've lost 4 games by one score or less. So they're better than their record shows. Way to go, Navy.
So this is the game I watched. This is the new window, I think. I watched every snap of this game. Purdue 31.
Oh, my God.
Number 21, Illinois 24. This
every
is my
snap?
Every snap. I was so proud of myself watching this game. And it was
proud
also
of yourself. That's one way of putting it.
This is my lock last week, and I had such a strong feeling. I was like, I know this
you
is
did.
The right. I know this is. And it played out exactly the way I thought it would play out. But it was a great game, Mike. A great
game. A great game?
Yes.
Well, you'll have to talk about this one because of all the games I watched, I did not watch a single snap of that one.
I mean, Illinois came out like Illinois' team were like, they're like, they've been playing better and they have momentum, but like.
But they're crashing back down to earth.
Like the next game we're going to talk about too, right? And then Purdue does have talent and Aiden O'Connell can play or whatever, but it was a back and forth game. It was just a wonderful game to watch. And like, if you're a Big Ten nerd, of course you would like, I am a Big Ten nerd, so I watched the game. But it was just, I really enjoyed watching every single snap of the game. I would sometimes turn the TV off and then turn on the college football blitz to hear the radio call for it, too.
Yeah. That is definitely nerd material.
But you didn't see it at all?
No, I did not see it at all. I was doing moving stuff slash watching 10 better games.
Purdue was one play away from beating Penn State in week one.
Yeah, that was a Thursday night kickoff. That was an awesome game.
Yep. And they also totally could have beaten Syracuse.
Yes, they could have.
Could have been a very different season. And I forget now, like, what's the situation in the West, Mike?
The situation in the West is you'd need like NASA scientists to explain it. But the gist of it from what I read is that essentially Purdue is in the driver's seat. Now, no team truly controls their own destiny, which I find a fascinating scenario. But according to what I've read, Purdue, based on, you know, who they play and likely outcomes, Purdue is the favorite.
My dream, Mike, among many, is I think that Purdue should have a standing series every single year, home and away, with an SEC school. So the SEC could experience like going to a game in West Lafayette. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, I need to experience that. I've never been to West Lafayette. Have you?
No.
Yeah, no. Neither have I. And it's in Indiana, a state where I went to college for 4 years.
Mike, how about this one? Vanderbilt 24.
Oh.
Number 24, Kentucky 21. That's a shocker.
I wish I watched that one. So that was, what was it, 26 in a row SEC losses that this snapped?
Yeah.
I would have loved to have watched some of that game. I did not see any of that. But that would have been fun to, especially to see the post-game locker room scene in the Commodores locker room. That would have been awesome. Congratulations to Vanderbilt.
So I think Vandy plays Tennessee this week, and it's at Vandy, okay? And I from what I gather on Twitter, and it could be just whatever, I think there's a plan by Tennessee fans, which I think is like, on one hand, funny, but also like not cool. It's senior night at Vanderbilt. Tennessee is trying to do the whole like checkerbox thing at Vanderbilt Stadium.
What is the checkerbox thing?
You know, like they're going to have like they're trying to like have the stadium look like it's a Tennessee home game.
Oh, like half the fans hold up like.
Yes.
Oh, that's not cool at all.
Right.
Let Vandy have their moment. I've been to a game at Vanderbilt. Me, noted listener Schlater, and Twiggy, a guy, I don't know how he wound up there. We went to a Vanderbilt, Georgia game. It was like high school-ish, and we tailgated in a hotel bar. It was fascinating. And I remember walking into the stadium, they had a huge billboard in the stadium with all their football players like in their cap and gowns touting the team's GPA and how it was by far number one in the SEC.
Again,
which I'm surprised by, because I bet they take real classes.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, Mike. The top 25, the most important top 25. I texted you earlier. Best and worst airports in America.
Well, you sent me airport codes. Only one of which I knew, Salt Lake City, which we just went to. What was the other one?
Hold on. Are you ready? The best large airports. From
20, there are 25 of them?
This is large airports. From 20 to 1.
Okay.
20. And this is like, again, if you're like low on this list, it's not good. Okay. So 20, of course, is, take a guess, Mike, the worst airport, large airport.
LaGuardia.
Newark.
Oh, I disagree with that.
So it's, well, that's next. Newark, JFK, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, O'Hare, Dallas-Fort Worth, Orlando, Philly, which sucks, Denver, which sucks, Boston, Seattle, which I thought was okay, Charlotte, Las Vegas, Houston, Bush, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Detroit, Minneapolis, Atlanta, and top is San Francisco. So in our world, Mike.
Wait, number one was San Francisco?
Yep.
The best airport?
Best large airport, yes.
Huh, interesting. So you went very fast, and I didn't have a lot of time to process all that. But one thing that stuck out was you said Houston Bush.
Yeah.
So I remember when I was in Texas A&M, I think it was when I was in Texas, the Texas A&M game. I was flying back, and I was flying out of Houston Hobby. But little did I know that there were two airports in Houston. And the guy in front of me was just, there was a large crowd. It was very, very crowded. And it was Sunday, you know, everyone trying to get home. And he hands his stuff to the TSA guy, and he goes, "You're at the wrong airport, sir." And he's like, "But my flight leaves in 25 minutes. And he's like, "I don't know what to tell you. You're at the wrong airport, sir." And I just didn't, I had no idea there were two airports in Houston. Did you know that?
I've never been to Houston, I don't think.
Well, if you do go, heads up, there are two airports there.
Like, at that point, I was in New York this week. And so Penn Station expanded, right?
Yeah, I heard about that.
So you've been to Penn Station, right? It's like most glorious place in the world.
Yeah.
And I was leaving on Wednesday, and my train was leaving from the Moynihan train hall at Penn Station.
That's funny, because I was actually looking at trains this week, and I put in Penn Station, and it didn't come up. And then I finally learned it was named Moynihan.
Well, there's two different spots. So it's like there's Penn Station, and there's Moynihan Penn Station. And I got like my Uber to Penn Station. I was like, "Where is Moynihan?"
It's right next to it, isn't it?
But it's like a block away, and it's like different. Oh my god! Anyway,
and then throw in the fact that I'm leaving on my train from Baltimore Penn Station. Can we get some new names for these train stations?
All right, Mike. By the way, all right, next one, real quick. The best mid-sized airports in the United
States. Tampa has got to be number one.
So I'm going from one to the end here. So we're starting at the top.
Okay.
Sacramento.
Oh, never been there.
San Diego.
Glorious.
San Jose.
Never been there.
San Antonio.
Never been there.
Portland PDX, awesome.
Oh, outstanding. Do you know about their obsession with their carpet?
Their carpet, Portland? Yes. Yep.
Okay, yeah, I have a keychain with the Portland Airport carpet. When Pat and I were there for a Wizards game, they were attempting to pull up the carpet, and there was like a civic unrest. They were like, "Keep our carpet."
Honolulu.
I've been there. That's not a great airport.
Tampa.
Great, outstanding airport, Tampa.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, we were just there. Bigger and more crowded than we expected, right?
That was great. Santa Ana. That's new to me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, me either.
Oakland. Raleigh-Durham. I've been there. Great airport.
I have not been there.
Pittsburgh.
I have not been to Pittsburgh Airport.
Kahului? I think it's Hawaii somewhere. Kahului?
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm sure you're pronouncing it right.
Houston Hobby.
That's the one I've been. I've been to Houston Hobby, but not Bush.
Now we're down to like the bad airports. St. Louis?
Never been there.
Kansas City?
Never been there.
Dulles?
Dulles? Oh, I've been there many times.
Sucks, right?
Well, the worst part about it is it's in the middle of nowhere. It is a hour plus drive from almost anywhere.
Yeah, and the weird transport system.
You have to take these like Star Wars type buggy things from the main terminal to your plane.
Indy
is a great airport. I think I'm a big fan of, well, of course I'm a little biased, but they have a lot of like Indy 500 stuff there, which I like.
Chicago Midway,
just flew out of there 2 weeks ago. It's functional.
Fort Myers, have been there. Not great. Cincy.
Yeah. We just flew out of that, on our baseball trip. Don't really remember much about it.
Nashville?
Even though it was only 3 months ago.
Nashville's
a good airport.
New Orleans. That's not good.
No, New Orleans is not a good airport. It's overcrowded. They're doing work on it though, I believe, because it's at least they have been for the last 10 years.
BWI, Mike.
BWI, I have a love-hate relationship with, because obviously it's my home airport. I know it well. And so I know like the good spots. I know exact, like, Tim, if next time you're there, I'll tell you exactly where to get a delicious Bloody Mary. But it's way overcrowded, way, way overcrowded. And I remember Chris, noted sometime listener, Chris McBride, you have to take a shuttle bus, and Tim, obviously, you're not going to like this. Ugh. You have to take a shuttle bus basically everywhere to get to the main, to regular parking lots, rent a car. It's all shuttle buses. That's no bueno.
Dallas Love.
I don't know. How long is this airport segment going to go on?
Almost done. Austin, we've been there. I didn't hate Austin. It was
no,
fun.
Austin's great.
And the bottom three, Mike. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland. The one thing what I think about Cleveland, it almost feels like, now this is going to be a weird simile or comparison, because it almost feels like one of those like Caribbean island type airports where you're like, oh, are there really only like, you know, four gates and there's like three things open to get a, you know, get some food or something. But the good part about it is you say, hey, can you pick me up? And Allison would be like, yeah, just, you know, let me know, you know, 5 minutes after you land. And like, hey, should I tell you, you know, a number or what gate or wherever? She's like, no, I'll just drive by and I'll see you. It's a tiny airport for a big city.
I agree. 28 Washington Reagan.
The only good thing about that one is you can take the subway there, which I'm a big fan of that.
And of course, the last one, New York LaGuardia, Mike.
Yeah, horrible. Incredibly horrible.
Yeah. I find the airport rankings fascinating,
Mike. Yeah, where were those rankings from?
The Wall Street Journal. They do it every year.
Ah, well, then those are reputable rankings.
Yes. All right, ready. The CFP rankings, Mike, real quick.
All right, we got to go through these quickly then.
Drop from rankings, Texas, Illinois, and Kentucky.
I can't believe Texas is out of the rankings. They should be 25.
All right, 25, Cincy, 24, NC State, 23, Oregon State, 22, Oklahoma State, 21, Tulane.
Surprising that NC State stayed in there after a loss to Boston College, right? Is that who they lost to?
Yeah.
Surprising that they're in there.
20, UCF, 19, Florida State, 18, Notre Dame, 17, Washington, 16, UCLA.
Seems like Washington should be a bit higher at 8-2.
15, K-State, 14, Ole Miss, 13, North Carolina, 12, Oregon, 11, Penn State.
How about the Knicks inching their way back up to number 11? You think they'll be in the top 10 by the time this thing is all said and done?
I mean, they have their last two are Rutgers and Sparty. So
yeah, I know. And then they'll win probably whatever bowl game they're in, because Franklin will be like, this is important. We're building for next year.
10, our beloved Utah. 9, Clemson. 8, Bama. 7, USC. Controversially, I think 6, LSU above USC, Mike.
Well, no, I would almost say, I think I'm surprised. You know, when you look at who USC has played and beat, I'm not sure that they're – first of all, they have a great game against UCLA this week that I'm looking forward to watching, although I probably won't get to watch it. But USC really hasn't beaten anybody. They are – you know, I'm surprised that they're ranked that high.
5, Tennessee, just hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
4, I mean, TCU, God bless them, but, like,
yeah.
They're – we'll see. We'll see.
Everybody in the establishment is rooting for TCU to lose.
And then I there's no difference to me between 3 Michigan, 2 Ohio State, and 1 Georgia. Like, it is
yeah. No, that's a good point. I would say that those are without question the top 3 teams, and I think, you know, what's interesting though, I think there's a scenario for Ohio State to get in if they lose to Michigan in an epic game. But I'm not sure if there's a scenario for Michigan to lose and get in if they lose to Ohio State, because Michigan has played absolutely no one in the non-conference, whereas Ohio State has a win over Notre Dame.
And don't you also think part of it is that Ohio State's built up the credibility over the years and years and years and years?
Absolutely. That is no question. That's at least 15 to 20% of it.
Yeah. The shame is I think both do. If they both finish out and like one loses, they both do deserve to be in the playoff. I do think they do.
I mean, an interesting scenario is LSU winning the SEC with 2 losses, and one of those losses a blowout loss at the hands of Tennessee, which has only lost to Georgia. I mean, that is a real interesting scenario. What do you do there? We, you know, there's still, you know, it's kind of cliche to say there's a lot of football to be played, even though there are really only 3 weeks left. But you have to wait till all these games are played and these things sort themselves out. So I can't wait for the next 3 weeks.
Again, this whole system's like it's fun, but it's so stupid, right?
Yeah, but we'll have, once it goes to 12 teams, we'll have complaints there too.
Of course. Finally, we should say, Mike, I mean, this story out of Virginia this week is just awful.
Horrific.
I read a really just horrifying story in the Washington Post today.
I read that story as well.
Was that awful, Mike?
Of course. Yeah, it was unbelievably awful. And one of the players was shot while he was sleeping.
And by all counts, the kids who got shot.
Great kids.
Just great kid. I mean.
They're coming back from a Sunday field trip to watch a play in DC.
Yeah.
And the woman who's quoted extensively in that Washington Post story was saying she did not think the players would show up because they had a game the day before. Yet these players showed up. They take a probably 2-hour bus ride from Charlottesville to DC to watch this play. I think the play was about Emmett Till.
Yeah.
They went out to have Ethiopian food afterward. It sounds like an awesome day. I would love to see a play in DC and then go eat delicious Ethiopian food. And then they take a bus back. They're kind of sleeping. They're on there. And then this happens. It's just mind boggling. There's really nothing to say about it. It's just totally, totally insane. And yeah, my hearts go out to all their friends and family.
I mean, UVA's coach, can you imagine having to make that phone call to those families?
No. And then I read a good story, too, about Bronco Mendenhall, the coach previous to Tony Elliott, who recruited these guys. He's kind of a different dude. And it was an interesting story about he lives in Montana now. He's going back to Virginia to, you know, to go to the memorials and to talk to the families and things like that. And it's just crushing. But, you know, interesting, you know, it doesn't really mean anything in the broader scheme of things, but the other Virginia schools, VaTech, James Madison, some of these schools, they're all going to be, you know, wearing decals, honoring these Virginia athletes, and the entire ACC is going to be having a moment of silence for them. And Virginia canceled their game on Saturday, which I think was the right move. Apparently they left it up to the players. Had a big
say. They couldn't have played.
It's horrible. And there's nothing, this is a situation. There's no silver lining. There's nothing redeeming about it. There's no light on the, at the end of the tunnel. It's just an awful story.
And I mean, you just think, again, by all accounts, just like such great kids and mm-hmm. like such potential cut so short. And
yeah,
I just, I mean, like, it's heartbreaking. Again, I read that story and I almost read it. I didn't. Wish I didn't, because it was just so, it was heartbreaking.
It really was. It sure was.
All right. Well, shifting gears awkwardly here. Mike, games of the week. Illinois at number 3, Michigan, noon ABC. I just put it here because it's Brett Bielema and Michigan's riding high. And I just float the possibility Illinois coming off a pretty awful performance last week. Maybe, Mike, maybe.
Oh, interesting. And when you tend to say these things, occasionally you're right. More times than not, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Wolverine, 17.5-point favorites. I just think that possibly in the first half it'll be close, right? But I just think Michigan is so good on their offensive line and running the ball and kind of dominating, you know, physically their opponent. And it's a reeling Illinois team. And I just think Michigan is not going to mess around and play below their potential with Ohio State looming. So I disagree. I think Michigan wins this one easily.
Again, I'm just saying it's a possibility, Mike.
Well, anything's a possibility.
Wisconsin at Nebraska, noon ESPN. This is my game of choice here, Mike.
Yeah, you gonna watch every snap of this game too?
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait.
Shout out to noted listener Scott Tozier. He was at the Big House in Michigan last week watching Nebraska get pummeled by the Wolverines. I think the final was 31-3. in a major snow and ice storm. And apparently his friend made him stay the entire game. So I don't know if that's a shout out or a feel bad for you. But anyway, Wisconsin at Nebraska. Wisconsin, 10.5 point favorites at Nebraska. Nebraska, 3-7. This is even worse than the Scott Frost. I mean, this is, if this is not rock bottom for Nebraska, what is? They lost to Northwestern this year, Tim.
I mean, the program is in a state of absolute crisis. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, they are in pure decay. But Wisconsin's not playing great. I still would take the Badgers, although 10.5 Wisconsin on the road, I'd take Nebraska in the points.
Number 15, K-State at West Virginia. Cousin Dave, 2 p.m. on the Big 12 Network. Good luck finding that game.
Is that? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Me either.
The Wildcats, 7.5 point favorites on the road in Morgantown. Cousin Dave was very, very buoyed by the fact that West Virginia fired its athletic director. He's hoping that the next move is getting rid of Coach Neil Brown, right? Yep. But with West Virginia coming off a win over Oklahoma, Kansas State comes in playing good ball. Now, unfortunately for West Virginia, Kansas State is still alive for the Big 12 title game, so they need this win. They're 3-1 on the road. So even minus the 7 points, I think I'd take K-State.
So I could be mistaken, Mike. Number 23, Oregon State, our beloved Oregon State.
Beavers.
At Arizona State. 2:15 Eastern kickoff, ESPN2. That's an 11:15 local kick, Mike.
You're correct, because I noticed this as well. Never seen an odder kickoff time.
Yeah.
11:15 Eastern. What's with the 15, first of all? That's the weirdest part about it. Oregon State, 7.5 point favorites on the road. 7-3 for the Beavers against 3-7 for Arizona State. I know less than nothing about Arizona State. I'm taking Oregon State all the way.
Number one, Georgia at Kentucky, 3:30 p.m. CBS. Similar to Illinois, Michigan. Look, Kentucky's a wounded duck at this point, right? Georgia, though, like, you got to be careful on the road against a well-coached team in Kentucky. They have talent there.
Talent that lost to Vanderbilt last week?
I'm just saying, Mike. I'm just saying.
Okay, I disagree again. Georgia, 22.5 point road favorite. Now, that is a lot of points. But Georgia has nothing. They don't have a huge game next week like Michigan does. Georgia's playing Tech next week, which is much easier game than this Kentucky game. So I think that Georgia will be focused, and Georgia is just a much better team. I'm not worried at all about the Bulldogs.
The question here is, how bad is it going to be? Number two, Ohio State at Maryland, 3:30 p.m. ABC. So Ohio State, like, basically, not to be demeaning here, Mike, this is a tune-up game for Michigan.
Oh, no doubt about it. And plus, and again, not to be demeaning about my beloved Terrapins and your 1B alma mater, this will be half to two-thirds Ohio State fans in the stands.
Yeah.
Ohio State, 27.5 point road favorites against a Maryland team that is going in the wrong direction. They may not cover, but it's going to be an easy win for Ohio State.
So what's the issue here with Maryland and this November, like, nosedives? Like, is it a
they play better teams? So that this happens to a lot of teams. Like, it's same thing that's happening to Illinois. You're playing better teams. They have a backloaded schedule. You actually said it on the podcast a couple weeks ago. You said the Wisconsin game was very pivotal for Maryland, and I agreed with you, because they're obviously probably going to lose to Penn State. They're definitely going to lose to Ohio State, but they could have been a little more competitive if they had the momentum of coming off a nice win against Wisconsin, a seventh win of the year, and that really would have made it a kind of an exceptional season in Maryland football parlance. But the way they lost to Wisconsin was deflating. The way they lost to Penn State was embarrassing. And the way they're going to lose to Ohio State is probably going to be humiliating.
Number 11, Penn State at Rutgers, 3:30 BTN. I put it for one reason. So I was in New York for work this week, and like the train goes right past Rutgers campus. And you can see
Piscataway.
Their stadium. It's a nice stadium.
I want to go there one year, let's take the train and let's just meet there for a game one year.
Here's the problem: there's no stop at Piscataway.
What? So why not?
There's one in Metro Park and there's one in like New Brunswick, but like there's a big gap between that. So like,
you terrible. Do better, Amtrak.
But Rutgers needs to earn the stop, though. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Well, if that's what it's going to take, then there'll never be a stop there if they have to earn it.
But again, I'm like, I'm dying to go to a game of Rutgers. I just love to see a game of Rutgers.
Me too. And by the way, so you just, I'm going on the Tim bandwagon here and I'm saying, watch out, Penn State. You know, they're going to Rutgers. They're 20-point favorites. Rutgers has played some good ball, better than Indiana all year, and as good, if not better, than Maryland. It's on the road. There'll obviously be a lot of Penn State fans there, but I'd say watch out, Penn State. They're not going to lose, but I'd probably take Rutgers in the 20.
I would agree. How about, Mike, this fun one here, and I'm so conflicted how to pick this one. Iowa at Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine. No, look. We have been beating up on Iowa, as everyone has. Their offense is terrible, right? But like,
they had 140 something yards in their win last week.
And their the key word is win.
Win,
right?
I know. I was reading an Andy Staples column, and he was talking about their defense and special teams. He had a good point. He said they're not just good, they're elite. Yep. Like, they have outstanding defense and special teams, and probably one of the worst offenses ever, ever in recent memory. Minnesota 2.5-point favorites. I'll take Minnesota at home all day long.
I'm embarrassed to ask, Mike. I forget what trophy is this Floyd of Rosedale or no?
No, Floyd. This is Floyd of Rosedale. I think you're right. I'm gonna double check that, but I think you're right.
Probably the best trophy in college football, right?
It is a good trophy. Yeah.
Number 14, Ole Miss at Arkansas, 7:30 SEC Network. Same thing again. Watch out, Ole Miss here. Watch out.
Yeah, you have no idea how Arkansas is going to play. They are all over the place. Let me get the spread. Hold on, I was caught googling Floyd of Rosedale. That sounds like something dirty. So Ole Miss. So Arkansas, Ole Miss favored by 2.5 at Arkansas. Absolutely, this has got Arkansas written all over it. Ole Miss. They left it all on the field. And yes, Floyd of Rosedale is Minnesota and Iowa. Right. Ole Miss left it all on the field against Bama last week. Arkansas is a good team. I'll take Arkansas.
This one, to me, number 22, Oklahoma State at Oklahoma, 7:30 ABC. Look, Bedlam. We all love Bedlam. We know Bedlam's going away.
That Bedlam's going away.
It is. We also know that as great as a rivalry as it is, it's so lopsided, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah, that's true.
Dundee's record against them is what?
He's like 2-18.
So imagine the pressure on him this week to get this, what should be an obvious win. I know Oklahoma sucks. I'm a heavy lean for Oklahoma here, Mike.
What do you mean should be an obvious win? The game is in Norman, and Oklahoma's favored by 7.5 points.
Are they really?
Yeah. Oklahoma State is 1-3 on the road. I mean, I agree. Like, until proven otherwise, I'm just going to keep taking the Sooners in this matchup.
Right. That's fascinating to me. I love this, too. I've always loved USC, UCLA. Number seven, USC at number 16, UCLA. 8 p.m. Fox. To me, I mean, this is my showcase game for the late window, no question about this.
No doubt. And this is the first time in a very long time that both the teams have been good, right? UCLA at 8-2. They lost a really head scratcher, but a wildly entertaining game against Arizona last week. And I watched almost all that. Arizona's quarterback played his ass off. It was a hell of a game, and Arizona earned it. Did you see that game, by the way? The last play of the game, UCLA had a chance to win, and DTR stepped up, and he had an open receiver in the back of the end zone with no time on the clock. If he had completed it, UCLA would have won, but he just barely overthrew it, and the guy dove and made an outstanding effort. It was just a great ending to an outstanding game. But USC 9-1, UCLA 8-2. The Trojans favored by 2.5 points. Of course, they're playing it at the Rose Bowl, probably be 50-50 fans. The uniform matchup is going to be great. The Pac-12 has been very entertaining this year.
Oh, no question.
And Fox, as we were talking about, Fox does a good job of showcasing those games. So, yeah, this is going to be a great one.
Speaking of the Pac-12, how great is number 10 Utah and number 12 Oregon? 10:30 ESPN, Mike.
Oh, I can't say. I love that because when we get to my plans, this is probably the only game I'm going to have a chance to watch on Saturday. The Ducks catching 2.5 points. Utah favorite on the road, which I find interesting. Both teams 8-2. Massive Pac-12 title game ramifications. Not really college football playoff ramifications, but this is going to be an awesome game. We love the style that Utah plays. We love the scene and the fans in Autzen. Tim, I think we're Pac-12 fans.
I love Pac-12. It's great.
Yeah, I think that's our, I would say, third favorite conference. I don't know. It's definitely ahead of the ACC and the Big 12, I'll tell you that.
Yes. finally, Mike, my favorite conference, the Patriot League. How about Lehigh Lafayette? I think it's the 159th playing of this game now. 12:20 on ESPN Plus. 12:20, Mike. You've been there. You've experienced it.
It was awesome.
Experienced the party. I love this game every single year, and this will be on my second TV, no question about it. I love this game. Unfortunately, I feel like Lafayette's going to destroy Lehigh this year.
Well, I looked at the records because it's one of the games in our pool, and Lafayette, obviously Lehigh is horrible, yeah, but Lafayette is not that much better. They're not having a good year as well, either, I guess I should say. But yes, last year, was that just last year? Yeah, it was last year, 2021. Yeah. We attended this game in Bethlehem. It was an awesome experience. You did a great job, even though you kind of copped out by making us go there. We enjoyed ourselves when we went there. You had a great tailgate. The weather was awesome. We saw people partying their asses off. It was like a major Division I party, but in miniature. That's how I describe it. Cool little stadium there in Bethlehem. And the game was exciting. This will be a fun game. And I agree, I'm taking Lafayette.
Mike, our picks last week were what?
So, Timmy, as you already referenced, you took Purdue, got a win to up your record to 4-7. And I took Oklahoma State, and you mocked me, but they got the win as well. They were catching points, and they won outright. I got the win to go 5-6. So, yeah, we both won last week.
Bobby hit the bumper.
Place bets on college football.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
The Mike Unger 50-50 possible lot, probably loser of the week.
Please hang up and try again.
Tim, for this week's lock of the week, we are going to Berkeley, California. That's right. Oh, home God. Of the Cal Bears, where the game, I believe it's called, is it happening this week? Stanford at Cal. This is what, I think this is an anniversary of the lateral, the band is on the field game. Either that or a book just came out about it because I'm seeing a lot of coverage about it. I think the book is called Five Laterals and a Trombone, which is just a tremendous name for a book. But anyway, Stanford is going to play Cal. Cal, 5.5-point favorites. Both teams come in 3-7. In a rivalry game in which the road team has covered 6 straight, I will take the Stanford Cardinal plus 5.5 at Cal.
Again, what's the Iowa-Minnesota thing?
Minnesota's favored by 2.5.
Give me Iowa.
Oh, you love Iowa. You just want to watch every snap of this game because you're some kind of, you like torturing yourself.
Yes, I do.
4 p.m. kickoff. Who knows what network that's on? That's got to be a Big Ten.
Oh, it's Fox. It's Fox.
Oh, Fox at 4. Oh, God. All right. Sorry, Fox.
It's Floyd of Rosedale, man. It's a big game. All right, Mike, your plans this weekend are what?
So, Timmy, I'm gonna try and watch as much football as I can between noon and 3. That includes the Indiana game, of course. They're playing Sparty. Should be quite a battle. And then I'm going to D.C. to see Billy Strings. So I'm going to the Billy Strings concert on Saturday night. So I'm not really going to see much football. This is going to be a great show, listeners, next week. I hope to be back to watch a solid amount of the Utah-Oregon game from midnight on. So maybe the second half of the Oregon-Utah game. And I'm sure after a Billy Strings concert, I'll be in the right state to remember everything.
Very nice. All right, Mike. Well, thanks again. This is a great show. I enjoyed the airport rankings.
Yes, you did. And I've been practicing for the end of this show because I botched it last week. And at least one listener made it through the whole show and made fun of the way I said Pachas last time.
Pachas.
Thank you for listening to the TCFA podcast.